Okay, we're on the middle of Perek Yud Tes. The Ato Avi L'Chorayos. Okay, he explained that the Chassidus is composed of both things between Adam L'Chaveiro and Bein Adam L'Makom, between how you approach the Rabbanu Shlom and how you approach other people, in doing things in the most perfect way possible with the greatest and most perfect intention. And now he's going to bring examples of these things. The Ato Avi L'Chorayos HaKol HaDvorim Ha'elim Min HaChazal. I bring you sources from Chazal that point to this idea that this is what real Chassidus is. Even though they're very simple and obvious simple things don't need any proof. That's the proof itself, is that it is logical and obvious. But Lamaisa, it helps to strengthen it. The Perek B'nei Ha'ir Amru, the Gemara Megillah says the following. Shol Talmidav Es Rav Zakkai, B'me Harach D'Yomim. The students asked Rav Zakkai, he obviously was a very old man. He asked him, what schus did you have to have such a long life? Amr Lei, Miyomai Lo Hishtanti B'sov Da'arama Shol Tfila, V'lo Kinisi Shem L'Chaveri, V'lo Bitalti Kiddush Hayom. Said that, what's it called? He never treated the place where he davened with disrespect and urinated within Dalet Amos of that place. He treated it with tremendous respect, even though halachically maybe that's not necessary. I never gave my friend a nickname. So the halacha is, if you give somebody a nickname that is derogatory, so you lose your share in the world to come for that. Call somebody by a nickname that's derogatory. Unless they like that nickname. In other words, some people who are heavy like to be called fatso or skinny or something. Yeah, no, that's not, that's their nickname or their whatever. And they like that. They like when people call them that or whatever. Sometimes people don't like when you call them that and other people make up the name, then it's usher. But he never even used a nickname that was not derogatory. Stop. I never called a person by his nickname, only by his full name out of respect. So he went extra, more than is necessary. It's okay to call somebody by a nickname that's not derogatory, but he didn't do that. He respected the person, called them by their full name. V'lo bitalti kiddush hayom. I never failed to make kiddush on wine, right? Meaning that, what's it called? If you don't have any wine, then you can't make kiddush if you have nothing to eat. But he always went out of his way to make sure to say kiddush on wine. And then he says, I had an old mother, she once sold her tichel, Hevieli Kiddush Hayom, in order that I should be able to have wine to make Kiddush. This is going the extra mile, more than is necessary. These are all things that la halacha would be okay if you didn't do them. But this person went lifni mishuras hadin, and for that he was zochet tarichas yomim. The Rav Shem went extra with him too. Right? He didn't have the normal lifespan, he had extra lifespan because he went extra in how he did the mitzvahs. Ki kvar poter hayo min hadin me'avos yayin l'kiddush. If he didn't have wine and he couldn't afford it, so he's poter from bringing wine to make kiddush. Kivin shelo hayo lo. At shehoysa tricha imo limkor kipa shemarosha. The only way that he could have wine for kiddush if his mother sold her tichel, right? So it wasn't required to do that. But the ma'aser, because he was so careful with this mitzvah, he got omnam imidus chasidus hayo osekein. So they ask over here, what's it called, Rabbi Yecheskel Sarna? He says, l'chora, that's his mother's mila, that she went and sold the thing, not his mila. Trying to bring a mile. Why did you have a long life? Because my mother sold her kippah. He says, no, just like this. If he would have ever not been makbid to get wine under the most dire circumstances, he never would have let his mother sell her head covering in order to, what's it called, in order to have wine. Right? It wouldn't have been proper. Right? If I don't do it sometimes, why should I make my mother go to such lengths? So this will be another time. But if he never didn't get wine. He went to every length possible. Then he let his mother do that too. In addition, he says, why does it say she was an old mother? Who cares if she was old or young? She went and sold her tichel. What difference does it make what she was? He said, no, the fact that she sold it is only because she was impressed that she saw throughout her lifetime, he was already an older person, because she was already old, that she observed that he never took the easy way out, and he always went to great lengths to make sure he had wine for Kiddush. So because he did that, that's why she sold her tichel when there was no other etza. Had he not gone to such great lengths, she wouldn't have felt necessary to go to great lengths to get him wine for Kiddush either. So the Mila was his. It's because he did this constantly that he let his mother do it and that she was willing to do it. Okay. The Bemasha Nogela Kovet Chadero, and that was Hasidus between man and God. But he was between Hasidus between man and man, Shalokino Afilu Kinu Sheino Soganai, who could appear Shuatostashon, that he never used a nickname, even if the nickname was not derogatory. But it's much more honorable and respectful to call somebody by their real name than to call them by a nickname. Right? Again, there's exceptions where the person likes to be called, but he wants to be called like that. But most times a person would rather be called by his real name than by his nickname. So again, if it's derogatory, it's aser to do. It's not derogatory, it's okay. But he went the extra bit to make sure to call the person only by his more respectful name. Rav Huna Gamkein, Kosher Gemi Alavusho, Lefisha Mocher Hemyono, Liknos Yain, Lekiddush Hayom. We find the same thing with Rav Huna. When the extra, more than you have to do, he sold his belt and had to use a rubber band to hold his clothes up, right, because he needed money for Kiddush. Like today we don't understand what that means. We have, you know, the wine is very, but even in Europe, the Mishnah Berurah brings down many times that wine was not available. You didn't have grape juice either. And they sometimes either had to use substitutes for wine, or they pusher didn't have to what to use. Od Sham Shol Talmidus of Reb Elazar ben Shamua. There also it says another thing. They asked Reb Elazar ben Shamua, B'meh harach deyomim, what schus did you have that you lived so long? Omerlei miyomei lo asisi kapandri lebeis haknesses. I never used a shul as a shortcut. And even though there are ways that you're allowed to do that, really, halachically, you're not allowed to use a shul as a shortcut. In other words, if you have to, in our shul, it's not possible, pretty much. But if you have there was another exit outside the shul, and you wanted to go in one door and out the other door, in order you didn't have to go around the shul. So that's osur. That's using a shul as a kapandria. However, there's ways that it's okay to do it, right? If you, sit down and learn a little bit in the shul, or whatever, or you have a reason why you had to come in, and then when you're going out, so you use the shorter way. He never used it even in the ways that were permitted. V'lo pasati al rashi am kodesh. Right? I never walked over the heads of people. The students used to sit on the ground, and the Rebbe would stand up and teach, or sit on a chair above them. After the time Ram Gamliel, in the beginning they used to stand when they learned. And then they would sit. So the students would sit on the ground and he would sit in a chair. So in order to get to his seat, he had to walk over them. He never did that. He always walked around, and not to insult them as if, you know, to say, who are you, and to walk over them. Hinei zeh amidos be'inyin kovod beis haknesses u'be'inyin kovod abrius. Here, see, the chassidus is doing something extra that's not necessary, but more perfect. He could have used the shul in certain permitted ways as a shortcut, and he didn't do that even. And he could have walked to his seat and walked over the people who were sitting on the floor, but it would have been disrespectful to them. Right? Even though they wouldn't have felt disrespected, this is the Rebbe, he's getting to his place. And we're sitting on the ground, there's no place to walk. Instead, the Dafko walked around them. Shlo l'fso al gavi mesibosan, shlo liros kemivaze osan. Right? He didn't do it even to make it appear like he was disrespectful to them. Walked around them instead of walking over them. Okay. Od sham shalot hamidas repreda, b'mayarach de yomim. There in that same Gemara, The Gemara says the students asked Rav Preda, what was your merit that you lived such a long life? I was always the first person to come to the Beis Medrash, right? Come to shul in the morning. I was the first one. And I never accepted benching in front of a Kohen. In other words, I always deferred to the Kohen that he should be the one to bench. And even though it, halachically it's okay, the halacha is you have to give three parts of an animal that shechted to the Kohen. The zroa, the forearm, lichayayim, the cheeks, and the keva, and the maw, the stomach of the animal, has to go to the Kohen. It's not like Trumas and Maestris, though, that if you don't take those things out, then you're not allowed to eat the crop. And if you do, you're usually liable to a death penalty, in heavenly death penalty. But here, the halacha is, you have to give them. But if you don't separate them, and you don't give them, so you're stealing from the Kohen, but the meat is edible. It doesn't prohibit the meat from being eaten. So he said, I never ate from that meat, any meat, until the matanas were given to the Kohen, which was, again, extra, more than he had to do.
He told me, Chacham, the Kohen was an Amar.
Right, so he, I guess, he always held that maybe this Kohen is not a complete Amaretz, and what's it called, and I'll defer to the Kohuna. Or he said that out of humility, I don't know if I'm such a big Talmud Chacham that I deserve that honor to bench in front of a Kohen. So always defer to the Kohen. Od va'amru od shalu tamidav from Nechunya b'me'arach diyamin. They asked from Nechunya the same question. Omar lei miyom elon nischadet mischabadeti b'kohen chaveri. Right, I never got credit at somebody else's expense. Below also allowed me to see killas chaveri. I never went to sleep and still had something against somebody, as if I was cursing him. I always made peace with people before I go to sleep. I didn't go to sleep with a bad feeling against people. And the Gemara explains what that means. Ki hada Rav Huna dori mora katfe. Rav Huna was carrying a hoe on his shoulder. Also, Rabbi Chanina Bar Chanilai, v'kodori minei. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chanilai felt it was not respectful for Rav Huna, who was a big Talmud Chacham, to walk around with a hoe on his shoulder. So he took it from him, wanted to take it from him. Amarlei iragilas de doris b'mosach dori. So he told Rabbi Chanina, if in your place you normally walk around carrying a hoe and you wouldn't feel embarrassed, then I'll let you take it from me. If not, if you don't normally do it, I'm not going to let you do it for me. Because then I'm going to get covered in something that normally would be something that degrades you. So I'm not going to do that. Even though he wasn't... Normally, even though the normal idea of yischabid bekolon chaveiro means where I look to degrade you in order to build myself up, I put you down to make myself good. That yischabid bekolon chaveiro is another thing. You lose your share in the world to come. That's what it means. But it doesn't mean that if you want to do something that normally would be degrading to you, but you want to do it to save me from embarrassment, that I won't let you do that. Right? You're the one who's offering to do it. I'm not taking advantage of you and making myself great at your expense. You're the one who's offering to do it. So there's really no prohibition in letting you do it. But he said, I'm going the extra amount, that's called chasidus, where I'm not going to let you degrade yourself willingly, and I should benefit from that. Hine lechasidim lo yeyos lekabel kovod, afilu im chaveru hu habo misratzo bezeh. A chasid is a person who doesn't want to take honor, or honor himself, even if the other person wants to do it, if it's at somebody else's expense, even if it's willingly. Okay, Reb Zera said that part of the merit I have, right, over here, I don't know if he was that old or whatever, but he said, if you want to learn from me, right, I never got angry in my house. I never was makbid, not even anger, right? I never made a stood on principle in my home, right? And I was always willing to be the one to be mevater, to give in. I never walked in front of somebody greater than me. I walked behind them. I never even thought about Torah, right, in a place that was not clean, where you can't learn Torah orally, verbally, but he didn't even think divrei Torah. I never walked Dalet Amos without learning Torah and without having my tefillin on, when you could have tefillin on. I never slept in a Beis Medrash, even to snooze for a second, or surely not regular, even though in a Beis Medrash, the halacha is you're allowed to eat, and you're even allowed to sleep there, because that's where people learn. If they have to go out to take a little nap or whatever, then they wouldn't be learning all the time. Right, so it saves their learning. You're allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash. You're not allowed, not like a shul. Shul, you can't eat and you can't sleep in a shul, even though people do that. So right during drushes, right. But we usually consider our shuls like Bote Medrashos because people learn there also. So even though it would seem that it has a chumra of a shul, it's we're more nakel that has the din of a Beis Medrash, where you could eat there and you could sleep there also. Velosasti betakolas chaveri, I never was happy when somebody else failed. I mean, not that I caused them to fail and took advantage, but I never had a feeling that I'm glad he didn't get whatever what I did, what I don't get or whatever, and I was happy that he failed in something. Similar, I never called him by his nickname, even a nickname that's not derogatory. In all these examples, we find chasidus, people going that extra bit, whether it's between man and God or between man and man, that's called chasidus. The Omru Ozal, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Man, Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Man, the boy, the mehevi chasida. Yehuda said, person who wants to be a chassid, lekaya mile de brachos, right, he should do three things. He should be extra careful in brachos. In other words, everything that he, every bracha he makes should be the proper bracha in the proper order or whatever. And he should, what's it called, and therefore, he's going to constantly be aware of the Rabbanu Shalom and everything he does. He's going to know the proper bracha to make and when to make it or whatever, and that will make him not just be, aware of the Rabbanu Shalom from time to time, but constantly. That's chasidus. V'zeh l'masha beino levein kono. That is chasidus between him and his creator. The omar le'lekayim milei d'nezikin. Also, he should be very careful in the laws of damages, to be very careful not to damage or to do anything that could bring damage to somebody else. That's the zelamasha beino levein chavero. That's in the area between man and man. The omar li lekayim milei da'avos, right? And he should also, what's it called, fulfill the things that are in pirkei avos, because that shesham nichlolim minyanim mikol achalakim. There it has things between man and man, between man and God, between man and yourself. So that is what's it called. Those are examples of people who could have done whatever they did in a minimal way and been yotze. They fulfilled their obligation. But they went beyond the letter of the law, and because of that, the Rabbanu Shalom went beyond the letter of the law with them, gave them extra long life. So here are examples, he says, of what it means, chasidus. It's not mandatory. It's not something you have to do. It's not obligatory. But it surely enhances what the obligation is. This adds to it in an enhancing way. Okay.
This is just what they think is why they...
Yeah, so that's what we said. Lo ein hama'aretz chassid. An hama'aretz who doesn't know Torah can't do these things because he doesn't have enough knowledge to know what is enhancing, what is obligatory, and what is adding to it and doing something that's totally not either not necessary or negative. Right, like we said, and an absurd example is, a person says, well, God wants me to bring an esrog, lulav, hadassim, and aravas on Sukkot. So I see God likes plants, I'll bring some bananas and, what's it called, some roses or whatever also. That is called lotosif. You're adding onto the mitzvah. You're not enhancing the mitzvah. You're doing something that totally is an addition to the mitzvah, and an addition to a mitzvah is like taking away from it. Because you're saying that God didn't know, and I know better. But enhancing the mitzvah means taking something which you're obligated to a certain point and taking that obligation beyond that point, which is really what the intention of the mitzvah is. But for that, you have to have a lot of knowledge to know where it's not adding, where it's enhancing.
But I'm saying that's the only way you get a long life? Is that how
does No. That was one of the ways. No.
That those are the reasons that they were given long life.
No, they had a feeling that that was the schus that they had. There are people, big people, who made a cheshbon of everything they did, and if we're asked what merit you feel that you were rewarded with this thing, this is the merit, I think. Right? This is something that I did that I think is special, and the rest of the things I don't think were that special. So if I'm looking for a special reason why I had a long life, Mustama, this is the reason. Yeah.
Is it proper to ask older people what they've done to merit to
live so? So here was their students that asked them. A student has a right to ask his Rebbe almost anything because he has to learn from him. And there are even extreme things where students went and hid themselves in the bathroom with their Rebbe or in their bedroom. So they should learn the halachas of how to have relations with the husband and wife or how to go to the bathroom properly. Even though the Rebbe said, you know, it is a little extreme, you know, get out of here, whatever they, right? But the student said, look, I have to learn from my Rebbe everything, and the best way to learn is from example, and they meant it l'shem shomayim. So, for a student, yeah. For Stam, somebody go on the street, you know, I'm from Channel 2, how come you're so old? I don't know if that's, if that would be okay.
Yeah, but then if they were the students, why didn't the Rebbe take the initiative and tell them,
teach them,
you know, what those things are?
You know, so it could be, first of all, it would seem like bragging. He said, you know, what's it called? I'll tell you why I'm so old, because I have these
lines.
Once you're asked, right, and they interested them and they want to learn from it, so I have a chiyuv to tell you. But if you don't ask, right, then maybe you're not interested, and maybe, what's it called, it'll sound like a gaiva for me to tell you what my milas are. So maybe there the Rebbe doesn't have to take the initiative.
So what about if somebody is, let's say you have a grandfather or a grandmother that's like in their 90s. So you want to know, like, what big, what can I do?
Again, it depends who they are and what they are. They may tell you, I drank and gambled and what's it called, my whole life, and I attribute that my, so why don't you do the same thing? It depends who the grandparents are. So again, it's a specific case of Talmidim asking their Rebbe. It's part of the education, part of the learning experience. For Stam, somebody to go and to ask somebody, right, what do you think, why do you think you made it so long, or right, whatever, could be, first of all, could be an Ein Hara also, right? And it could be also that, you know, it's just for curiosity's sake, maybe it's not proper. Huh?
Did Talmidim learn about sneas and privacy and things like that today?
Yeah, but again, they were on a level where for them it wasn't a breach of sneas, it was part of their mamish being totally subjugated to their Rebbe and to learn from everything he did. And the Rebbe said, you know, what's it called, this is a little much, right? And he threw him out. But they did that. That's it called, and again, for them, the Rebbe didn't say that, you know, what kind of chutzpah do you have or whatever, and you're a voyeur or whatever. They just said that, this is already too much. But it wasn't that they had real big tainas that they did something wrong. It's just that I understand your desire to learn, but this is not the way. Okay. We're going now again with the details of what you're allowed to use miser money for and what not when it comes to mitzvahs. Okay, hachnosis chosin v'kala. L'kulei amma yochel hachnis chosin v'kala aniyam imolz miser. There's no doubt that you're allowed to use miser money to give to poor chasanim in kalas. That's tzedakah, right? That's not, you're not doing it out of mitzvah. You're doing it because these people need tzedakah, and they need the basic necessities of in order to get married. However, bisman hazeh yeshikasu shigam kniyas dira nechsheves kechelim mitzvah haknasas kala. What if it's not the barest necessities, but they need money to buy an apartment? Okay. So some people say, look, I don't buy my own children apartments, I have to give you money to have an apartment. First of all, that may not be the case, because we have a halacha that tzedakah you give to a person, de machsora sheyesalo, and therefore it depends on his situation. And if he lives in a society where everybody gets a dira, right? Everybody has to buy a dira. You don't rent, people, nobody rents anything, right? That's the mentality, okay? Then that's a necessity for that person. You may come from a place where that's not a necessity. You don't have that mentality. But that doesn't make it not a necessity for the person who does have that mentality. So some people therefore say that you can even give tzedakah money to somebody who's raising money for Achnosas Kala if they want to buy an apartment with that money. Right? And you can't say, well, that's a luxury. Because in certain societies, like here in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a luxury, it's considered a necessity. You shouldn't tell them, well, you can go rent an apartment, right? I rent my apartment, why shouldn't you? I don't have a dira. Right? Because then you're just throwing money, you know, and not having anything that you had, that you can sell later on or have something to your name. And it's, again, certain societies, like here in Eretz Yisrael, by certain, not necessarily by chutznik people, but by real indigenous Israelis, that's considered a necessity. Right? There's no such thing as renting a place. Right? It's, you buy a place, and that's it, even if it means that you have to go and, I don't know, so I have no parents who sold their house so they can buy a dira for their kids. And they went and then had to live, you know, paying off debts or who knows what. Okay, sometimes it's really absurd. But in any case, that's a mentality. Then you can even give somebody your miser money to buy a house. Okay. L'kule alma, what's it called? How about your own children, right? To... Right. How about your own children? That's for somebody else who's poor. How about to marry off your own children, which l'chora, you are required to help them get married off. But there again, like we said, what is barest necessities? So it could be a parent is required to take care of their children's barest necessities to get married. But anything beyond that, right, could be either that you could use tzedakah for that, because you're not mechuyev to do it, or could be you're not allowed to use tzedakah because not necessary. Right? It's a luxury. So there is a gray area between that. What you're required to do, right, then that you can't use for meiser. Okay? What you're required doesn't mean al pi shulchan aruch, because it could be a parent isn't required to pay for their children's wedding or whatever, bechlal. Right? It could be not. However, custom is that parents do pay for the wedding, they buy the children, you know, the basic necessities, whatever it may be, furniture, appliances, whatever it may be. If that's the minig in that place, and a person who doesn't do that is considered doing something wrong, not fulfilling their responsibility, then you can't use miser money for that, because it's something that you're required to do. And even if you're not required by halacha, but you're required by custom. So that you can't use miser money for. How about something that not everybody has to do, but you want to do it, you'll enhance it a little bit. So then it depends. If it's mamish a luxury, right, I want to buy them, you know, a nice sports car. You can't use miser money for that, because they really don't need a sports car. But if you want to buy them a jalopy because they have to get to work and whatever, and they really need it, otherwise it's going to decrease whatever earnings they have. So that also goes into the klal of tzedakah, but it's not something that by custom everybody has to buy their kid a used car. So then it could be you could use meiser for that. because it goes into the cloud of something you're not required to do. It is something that they could use, and there's no reason why you can't give your children tzedakah, right, if you don't have the money to give them from your regular funds. So that's the gray area where you may be able to use miser money for your own children's chasana needs also. Yeah.
What about a bachelor's degree?
Bachelor's degree?
That they'll need in order to support themselves.
To pay for their education?
Yeah.
If you're paying for their education in something that is, again, if it's in a place where that's expected of parents, to pay for their children's college education, then you can't use miser for that. It's a chiyuv. You would feel that you're not doing what's proper in that place. If that's not the minig, and you're paying for something extra in order to give them a parnasa, right, and a parent is not required, mi'ikar ad-din, to do that, right? So, you have to get them a parnasa, whatever, you don't have to get them a bachelor's degree, right? Or you can pay them to, you know, become an apprentice for sewing machines or whatever, you know, it's much cheaper. And you're doing what you choose to get them a better parnasa, whatever, then Mestami could use Maisa money for that.
Isn't though by such a special parnasa, the chiyuv is to make sure a child has a parnasa that's matim for him.
Right.
I mean, but it's not just.
But not every. But you can find a parnasa that's matim for person without having to go to college. Plenty of people work and never went to college, and there are plenty of occupations.
What? Depends what field. Some things do require a degree.
Yeah, I'm saying, but it could be that you could find something else that there's an aptitude test, right? They find quite a few different things that a person can do, right? Some of them need, you know, extensive education that costs plenty, and some don't need such extensive education, and the person could do that. We're not talking where he's already doing something, he's choosing a career. So there's a lot of careers that a person could choose that are matim for him, right? That could be cheaper ones and more expensive ones. So I'm not mechuyev to give you a trade, right? The more expensive one, if something else could be matim for you too. And it's just your whim that, you know, well, you don't want to do that for this reason or that reason or whatever, which are not valid reasons why you can't do that. It's not black and white. There's a lot of different occupations that could be matim to any one person. Some things yes, some things not. Okay. Next thing. Kule alma yochalos is mos meister kedei lios balbris. Somebody wants to be a sandik or a moel for somebody. And he wants to buy the schus. Today they pay the moel in. The moel wanted, I want to have the schus of making the meal on your kid. So I'll be able to pay you for it. Or I want to be the sandik. I want that schus. So I want to buy that mitzvah. And I don't have the money to do it myself. And that money is going to a poor person who needs that money. So I'm just finding a way of giving you tzedakah, and I'm getting a mitzvah from it also, a side mitzvah, a side covet. I'm getting the schus of being a sandik or a moel. But the truth is, the money that I'm giving you is tzedakah money, because you're a poor person, you need that money. We're not talking buying it from somebody who's rich. So there, for sure, if the person's poor, you can use miser money to buy the schus to be a moel or a sandik, and the money then goes to this poor person who needs that money.
Could you use miser money in some other way to get it to them? In other words, make up a job that's not a real job, you don't really necessarily do need, you would do it yourself, but you want to be able to give this person money, so you...
Yeah, well, that's what you call it. Anyway, tzedakah. Somebody feels embarrassed to take tzedakah, and you can figure out a way to do it and make him think that he's not getting tzedakah, but then for sure you can give meiser for that. That's real tzedakah, except you're camouflaging it. Okay, mishloach manos, on Purim. Ein losis mishloach manos v'mos meiser. You can't send shalach manos for meiser. Okay? That for sure goes for the minimum that you're required to give, because what you're required to give. However, let's say you want to give more shalach manos. Okay? So there, if you made a condition you could use miser money for mitzvahs, then more than what you're required, you could use miser money, if you made a condition like that. But even without the condition, l'chora, unless you're giving the shalach manos to somebody poor, so then it becomes like tzedakah, right? You're giving the person food. and they need that food. Then the Chari could use Meiser for more than the what you required minimally. You're required to give two people, right, what's it called, one person two things, and you gave your one person two things from your money, now you want to give other people. So again, if they're poor, you can give them from Meiser money. If they're not poor, they're just your friends, then you can't give that from Meiser money either, because it's not tzedakah. And basically the reason, he wants to say over here in the notes, that the we depend on the reason for Shalach Manas. One idea of Shalach Manas is I should provide someone else with something nice for his Suda that he may not do on his own. So then it's like tzedakah. I'm giving you something. You may be stingy and wouldn't spend nice money on your Purim Suda, and I want to give you something nice that you wouldn't have gotten on your own. That's one reason. This way everybody has something nice, because you usually give nicer things to other people than you would be stingy for yourself. But there's another reason. That is to create achva vareyus, to create a feeling of unity and friendship or whatever. But the person knows you're using your tzedakah money to give him Shalach Manas, not going to create such a maisa, what's it called? If he knows you put out money, right, you spent money for his sake, that creates achva vareyus. But if he knows you're using him to get rid of your maisa money, that may not create achva vareyus, he says. Could be it does too, because you could use it for something else, you're using it on him. But in any case, he wants to say that it depends on the reason for Shalach Manas, and he says the main reason is to create achva vareyus, not to provide the other person with something for their suda. Therefore, it should come out that you should not be able to use Meiser money for Shalach Manas, unless, again, you're giving it to somebody who's mamish poor, and the reason you're giving it to him is that tzedakah, but just camouflaging it in as Matanas Levyonim. On the other hand, Matanas Levyonim, Ein Losis Matanas Levyonim Mas Meiser, the minimal Matanas Levyonim, which means, according to the smallest amount, Shava Pruta, to two people, which is about, what, 10 agurot today, something like that, Shava Pruta. So you give 10 agurot to two people, you yotzei Matanas Levyonim. Or if you want to be Machmer, you give each one the amount that they could go buy a Purim Suda, a minimal Suda, a sandwich, a falafel, something like that, right, a shawarma. So 20 shekel. You gave 20 shekel to two people, two different people, your yotzei the chiyuv, you don't have to do anything more. Now you want to give more, so that's like tzedakah. So you can use meiser money for the extra. Okay, you can't use it for the minimum. Omnam yochol losi shtei prutos matanos levyonim mikaspo, ulhosiv akar chalud matanos levyonim mikaspi meiser. Like we said, you can give the minimum from your money and the extra from meiser money. Okay, English Tamish most Maisla Pidin Kaparas. You make Kaparas Erev Yom Kippur, right? That's something that by custom people do, right? And they, if they use chickens, then they buy back the chicken and make sure the chicken goes to what's it called? To Aniyim. So the money you buy the chicken with has to be your money. Can't buy it from Maisla money. Because unless in that place it's not Nohug, right, to use chickens, Dafka. And you could use money, you could use, you know, 18 agurot or 18 shekel or something, and the chicken costs 25 shekel, and you want to do it the extra way, and you made it tonight, you could use it for mitzvahs, then, and the chicken's anyways going to go to tzedakah. It could be that you could buy it from Meiser money too, under those conditions. He's talking about a place where everybody does kaparis, right, either with money or with buying a chicken, and then there's no way of using what you have to do with Meiser money. Same thing with Machzah Shekel. Ein l'shtam l'shtam Meiser, and sees Machzah Shekel, Erev Purim, right, you give Machzah Shekel, whatever the minimum Machzah Shekel is, you can't use Meiser, because that's a chiyuv. You have to do that. Or it's not really you have to do it, but Minig says that you have to do it. Even if it's something that you're only chai because of Minig, you can't use Meiser money. Kimcha de Pischa, Mos Chitim. So it depends. According to Shulchan Aruch, every community had a tax for Mos Chitim. Everybody was assessed and had to give a certain amount according to their means. Then you can't use Meiser money because it's a tax. Right? You're required to give it. The way we do it, we don't tax anybody. We get up and make announcements, right, constantly over and over again, right, for a good reason, because people don't hear the first announcement or the second or the third. And we say that please, the people who need, please give to Mo Shechita. If somebody doesn't give, since it's all done secretly, it's not put up on, you know, a thing, so they don't feel embarrassed because nobody knows. So there, it's not by custom, not by social pressure, that anybody has to give anything. So you could give from Meisel money. If there's a certain minimum that everybody gives, and if you don't give it, you'll be embarrassed. And they put up a sign in the shul, you know, who gave what for Mol Shechitim. And if your name's not there, you'll be embarrassed, right? Then you have to give the minimum that people give. When people give minimum, 50 shekel, minimum, right? Less than that, you're a real miser. So, but more than that already, not everybody gives more. That's acceptable. Then more you could give from Meisel money to. Okay. Okay.
Should we do that?
Should you do what? Give from Meisel? Oh, put a thing on the board? Yeah, so we'll have more reason for people to have titles on us. So, yeah, why not? People have titles anyway, so. Probably not. We have enough, given people enough reason to have tainas on us, we'd have to give them more reasons. The lately, used to be I didn't think like that, but now, what's it called, I'm getting older, I think that, you know, why give people reasons to have complaints, right, if you don't have to? Okay, so you're younger, so you still think that it's kedai to do things even if you're going to get complaints. I'm older already, and I said, I'm not kedai anymore to make big deals about anything, just... What do we need complaints for? Okay, Mirz Hashem, someday you'll get Arichas Yomim, but my Arachti Yomim. I think people reasons to have complaints. And on that note, we will stop.